title of my message is The Power of Three. And you probably, maybe you're wondering, oh, what exactly could I be talking about? Because if you think about three things and all, a lot of confusion in the world, would associate that with the Trinity. I'm not going to be talking about that. Instead, I'm going to be talking about something else. While striving for perfection is no easy task, something we're going through right now, is everything we have planned in our head is perfection, everything that we go through, right? Right now, this broadcast, we're always thinking of it to be perfect going out. But, you know, that's the type of difficulties that we go through and the tests that we go through. But perfection is no easy task. It's very difficult at times. And at this point, to be absolutely perfect is impossible. But we know that one day we will become perfect, just as God our Father and Jesus Christ are perfect. To help us better become perfect, there are three traits that we can apply in our lives. And we read about that in 1 Corinthians 13. And those three are hope, faith, and love. Now, all of these three must work together for good, and we have to apply them in our lives. One can't do without the other. Now, starting off, there are many things that we hope for. We hope for a successful transmission. We hope for success. We may hope for happiness. We may hope for a better future, even though we do know what the future will entail. But in our lives right now, we do hope for that. But what we do hope for is what our purpose is. And we hope to be in God's kingdom, to be like God, to be rulers, to be perfect, and have everlasting life. We also may hope for new beginnings, as we pretty much do every year. I know when we partake of the Passover, and what a blessing that is, that we can have that, go through that again, where we start over fresh, hoping that we don't continually stumble into mistakes that we have done in the past. And if we do, better yet, when we do, because we always do make mistakes, we have the hope and also the faith that we will overcome it. And that is a constant goal that we have to go through. But God will see if it is truly genuine or not. For he looks into our hearts to see if we are truly sorry for the mistakes that we make. He sees into our hearts with everything that we do, everything we think about, everything that we do in our lives. Because we hope for certain things, sometimes thinking that we hope for, or what we hope for, may seem impossible. But we know that it is not impossible to God. But if we have come to that conclusion that it is impossible, then it will be impossible. We have to think beyond that. We have to think like God. We have to believe and remember what God promises. Now, Abraham did exactly that. He was given a promise, and what he had hoped for came true. Notice in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Romans chapter 4. Verse 18. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed? So we see hope twice here. But the contrary to hope part is the human hope. But then in godly hope, he believed. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now, because he hoped, he also had to have incredible faith. To hope, you also must have faith. They do go hand in hand. And we see in the next verse why Abraham had the faith that he had in verse 19. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, although already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. No, because he became strong in faith, and he didn't doubt in unbelief. But he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Anybody can have faith, but to be fully convinced of it is another question. How we live our lives, what we do, what we think about, do we believe in the Bible? Do we believe what our purpose is? Do we have that undeniable faith, you know, that Abraham had here? We also receive that hope to have that chance to receive everlasting life and to have our sins forgiven because of what Christ had done for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? And that's what we see a lot in this world. That's what people mainly put their belief in, is seeing something with their own eyes. That's where the faith also comes in. We also have to believe that and continue to believe that. And that is why we are reminded of this every single year during the spring and fall holy days. It is repetitive. You know, it's something that we do every year so we don't forget, but keep on remembering. And that's why it's so important, because it is something that we have to continuously be reminded of every single year. Verse 25 of chapter 8. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And that is exactly what we are all going through now. We haven't seen it yet. We read about it. We read what's going to happen in the future. We know it's coming. But what do we do in the meantime? We eagerly wait with patience, with perseverance. Because we didn't witness it doesn't mean that we don't believe it. We don't have to see things visually to believe. But what we read about here in the Bible is true. And with hope and faith, we will be able to see it clearly. Now let's talk about faith in more detail. I mentioned earlier that in order to have hope, you must also have faith. So notice Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is a strong confidence of that of which you hope for. You will receive it without doubt. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. All the way from the beginning of creation. You know, we didn't see this. You know, we didn't see how this was all made. Yet the Bible explains how it was done. And we have to have the faith to believe that everything that is around us was created by God. You can't hope for something if you do not have faith. Also, faith alone is not enough because it also needs action. Now, what do I mean by that? Notice James chapter 2 and verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have any works, can faith save him? Save by itself? Ah, you believe in this, but do you actually do something about it? Verse 15, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. See, they believe it. But what does that mean? But do you want to know, verse 20, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Verse 23, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see, then, that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And this is repeated over and over in these verses here. Faith without works is dead. Just because you believe something and don't have any action behind it and do it, doesn't mean you're going to be saved. If we want to survive spiritually, we need to have faith, and we also have to practice our faith with action or works. Now, one way we can all do this is what we read about in James 5, verses 13 through 18. James 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Yes. There are plenty of us suffering. There's a lot of suffering going on. We hear about it already in the prayer requests that we get almost on a daily basis. There's a lot going on, a lot of sickness going on in Germany, you know, with the feast approaching. And that is why it is so important to pray about it. And especially here too. I mean, we're going to be traveling, and this is where faith really comes in. It's where you have to put everything in God's hands and have the faith that he will heal. So again, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Humanly speaking, this is impossible. The whole point is here, though, to have the faith in God that he will answer our prayers. Now, sometimes it is very easy to forget to pray, especially when we're frustrated about something or frustrated within ourselves. We sometimes may think why God would even want to listen to us after we did something we know we shouldn't have done. Prayer may also be difficult to keep up as a habit, to do it consistently every single day. However, there is a lot of power behind prayer. Even though God knows what we are going to say, what we're thinking about at that moment, what is always on our minds, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray. Prayer is for us our chance to communicate with our Creator, to let Him know what we think about and ask for forgiveness and healing and specific needs, the daily things that we pray about constantly every day. But that's a special connection that we have with God when we pray to Him in private. And while we pray, we have the faith and we have the belief that what we ask for, we will receive. Man, notice Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 and 22. Matthew 21 and verse 21. Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. So this is figurative language here of our big problems that go on in our lives. Again, it's a miracle that only God can grant. Verse 22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Once you start praying in doubt, saying, oh, what's the point? I'm going to pray anyway, but the answer is going to be no. Well, then it's not. The chances are that God is not going to grant that. That's why we have to get that out of our mindset. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 14, no, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Sure, then the next question is, well, what is God's will? We don't even know that, if there is something we are specifically asking for. Well, we don't. But we have the faith, at least, what we are asking for, that God will grant, which is why we always say, too, if it is according to your will. But see, God also sees the desires in our heart of what we are asking for. And if it is according to his will, whatever the outcome is, he knows best. There is a reason why things happen in the way they do. But also through our good deeds and doing the right thing, doing what we're supposed to do, we have to show that we have faith in God. We shouldn't pray with doubt, as James 1, verse 6 says. We already mentioned Romans 4, 18 earlier, showing again how hope and faith go hand in hand. Time and time again, we read about promises that God states in the Bible. We have to remember and never forget about that when we are in time of need. Our faith must always be in God, and we should never doubt God because he knows what is best, and we should never doubt in what the result may be. And again, as I mentioned, there's a specific reason why things happen to each and every one of us. Why do we go through the same types of trials? It seems like they just never go away, but then they keep coming back over and over again. Now, it is God's power that we should never underestimate. But we also do have a part in this, and praying one time is not enough. As we must continually have faith, we also must continually pray. David is a great example of this. He prayed continually, and he also learned a lot by going through certain trials in his life. But he had to come to that conclusion the hard way, several times, by suffering the consequences for his wrong actions. However, he always had the faith and the confidence that he would overcome his trials and that God was always with him. Was he too embarrassed? Well, perhaps he was on many of the things that he did. Was he frustrated? Sure, he was frustrated. Did he stop looking to God and not pray to him? Absolutely not. It's because of his embarrassments, because of his sins that he committed, because of the frustrations, everything that was going on in his life, is why he kept praying to God. He always had the faith and confidence that he would overcome his trials and that God was always with him. He understood that he had a special protection from God, and he believed that God was with him. Notice Psalm chapter 91 and verse 2. Psalm 91, beginning verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Just as David had this faith, we also must have the same belief and faith in God. Another prayer we could read about is in Psalm chapter 6. Psalm 6, verse 1, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. And we are oftentimes in that same situation. When we go through these problems, when we go through these frustrations, whatever it may be, we feel very weak at that moment. Maybe you don't even feel like praying. It's like, why is God even going to listen to me? I should know better, right? Well, O Lord, heal me. Verse 2, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. Save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Verse 8, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. I know David went through a lot of pain, a lot of anguish, as you can see here, all night long, crying and praying at the same time. And we've been through situations like that. And has not God provided and helped us? Now, there are many kinds of prayers throughout the book of Psalms, a prayer for guidance, a prayer for deliverance, a prayer for thanksgiving, a prayer with confidence, a prayer in time of chastening, a prayer for wisdom and forgiveness, a prayer to God in time of trouble, a prayer of repentance, prayer for safety, also prayers to do with rejoicing, and an answered prayer. Do we sometimes forget to thank God if he had answered our prayers? Or do we take it for granted? Well, notice Psalm 28 in verse 1 and 2. David did this as well. Psalm 28, verse 1. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary. And then verse 6. Blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplications. Verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. And then in Psalm 30, we see another prayer, an answered prayer. Verse 8, I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood where I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, you and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. To the end, verse 12, that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Always giving thanks is just as important as praying for forgiveness or asking for help. Faith must always be continued throughout our lives, and we should never stop believing, especially when times are tough. And it sometimes may be so tough that it can't be handled. But that is not true. There is nothing that we can't handle. And we know what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 reveals. Or we should know that. We turn to it quite often. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Our faith is tested at times to see how strong we really are. Mentally, spiritually strong, that is. And I tell you, it is tough. already mentioned that, and we'll continue to mention it, and it's frustrating and it's scary, and that is human nature. It's absolutely normal to feel that way. And we usually come to our senses after a little while, and we then start to look at the bigger picture, don't we? Do we sometimes wonder why certain things are happening to us? Is our patience being tested? A few pages over to James chapter 1 and verse 2, another scripture we constantly turn to. James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And this is exactly what we should be joyful about. A lot of good comes with the trials that we go through. Continue to have faith in God to overcome our trials, and by doing what that we continue to show God how much that we love him by keeping his commandments. By believing and having faith, we also show love. So then let's talk about love. Why is love so important? Why is it considered the greatest of the three? You will soon find out just how vital love is, and that we must have love in our lives if you want to survive and also be in God's kingdom. With love also comes hope and faith. And when we love, we fulfill the law. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Romans 13 and verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you should not commit adultery, you shall not murder, not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. This is fulfilling the law. This is at its fullest extent of the law. Loving God is keeping his commandments. That doesn't go away. Now, God makes specific commands as to how we should love one another. First of all, even though it may be tough to do sometimes, but we are commanded to love our father and mother, which you read about in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Now, we have a reward when we follow these simple instructions, yet it is challenging at times, understandably so, even. But if we can do that, then we certainly show love towards others, because it also shows patience. We know that we should not murder or commit adultery or steal or bear false witness, lying, coveting. We shouldn't do that. But God's commandment shows love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. First John chapter 4, beginning verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Better yet, is begotten of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. And in this love, verse 10, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atonement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, no one has seen God the Father any time. And if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And verse 16, and if we have known and believed the love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. We have known this through the process of our experiences. It grows on us. In verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can we even love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment, verse 21, we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Again, they both go together, loving our neighbor, loving God. And then continuing in chapter 5, verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Again, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now, it may seem that way because the majority of the world don't keep and observe and celebrate what we do, and so we may think, oh, that's a burden to do that. You know, keeping a Sabbath every week, not working, or whatever it is, wherever it may be. But again, the world will understand that, and will see how much better this life is. The love of keeping God's commandments. God's love shall always be in us. When we apply all these three traits in our lives, we see how all three work together, how they all complement each other. And when we hope for something, we show love because we'd really love for that to happen, wouldn't we? Romans 5:5 says that hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us at our baptism. And we are reminded constantly every year with the keeping of his holy days and the meaning behind them, just how God's law shows love and how Christ loved us so much that he sacrificed himself for our sake, that we can have our sins forgiven and we can obtain everlasting life. We also do our part by keeping his commands, showing him that we do love him and his law, because we know that his law is perfect and it is based on love. So to conclude, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and read about the whole theme of this message. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love suffers long, is kind, does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The growing process that we go through. For now we see in a mirror, verse 12, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. So you didn't know everything yet when we were younger, but we grew to understand that. And that is why it's important to continue learning. Just because you hear something once, you think you're going to remember that the rest of your life. This is repetition that we are going through here. Constantly reminding ourselves why we are here, what we believe. But now, verse 13, abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So when we pray for one another, we show love. When we have faith and hope towards God and what he promises, we show love by asking him and giving him thanks for all he does. When we go through trials, we show God that we love him, because we know that there is nothing too difficult for us to handle. And at the same time, God loves it when we apply all three of these in our lives and when we succeed.